Morning, everybody. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trip Tower here till 5. Steve Grzanich with the Odin Bell at 5 and Steve Cochran at 6. My dad will call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time. And, of course, we want to thank the Gale Street Inn for sponsoring my dad's joke, the greatest restaurant on the planet. My main man, George Karzis. We thank him and everybody at the Gale Street Inn, which we will be celebrating. My dad's birthday is this week. So Saturday we're going to go into the Gale Street Inn and celebrate my dad's 75th birthday. Dad's going to be 75. And you know what else turned 75 this year, Esmeralda?
No idea.
The M&M.
What?
Yes, M&Ms are 75 years old this year.
I don't know why I'd think they'd be older.
Yeah, I thought that too. But yeah, so they my dad is as old as M&Ms.
Cool.
I don't mean the current batch that you can buy at the store, I would hope.
I don't think they age well.
No.
I think they have a shelf.
They have a very short shelf life, yeah. So, but they're M&Ms. People eat them like crazy. I like the peanut M&Ms, quite frankly.
I did just have a bag today.
A bag of peanut M&Ms?
I did.
Oh!
It makes me feel healthy.
Sure, because, you know, there's protein.
Right. I think this is better than Skittles or just eating chocolate.
Right.
At least this has a peanut in there.
There's a little bit of, there's a bit of health food in there. I had Skittles over the weekend when I went to the movies.
Plain or one of the crazy flavors?
No, just the regular Skittles, not the crazy, sour, nutty, crazy Skittles. So. All right, so the BBC surveyed 62 film critics from around the world. And I'm not quite sure why they chose to do this list now, you know, in 2016. I guess they thought, well, yeah, we're 16 years into the century, so let's do a list. What? But they did, and they had the 100 best films of the 21st century so far. And so I looked at the list, and then I busted out my old lists, you know, from my top 10 lists from last year all the way through to 09, I guess, or no, 2010. And then I have my list of the best films of the aughts. So I thought I'd go through some of that. But here's what some of the ones that they've got on the list. I won't go through the whole thing, but there's 100 of them. Coming in at number 100 is Requiem for a Dream. You ever see that movie?
Oh, gosh. I watched it once, and it is still burned into my head.
I can't. I've only seen it one time. I've only seen it one time. Dan, you've seen it?
Yeah.
Dan Long, by the way, in for Dan Chigrou.
Yes, sir.
You saw it?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. I will say this. First of all, Ellen Burstyn is amazing in it. Ellen Burstyn is actually, all the acting is good. Even the Wayans guy is good in it. Which one of the Wayans is in it? Damon? No, it's not
Marlon?
Damon. Marlon. Marlon Wayans. I got to say this, though. The last 15 minutes of that movie, I couldn't stand it during the last 15 minutes of the movie. I remember when it ended, I couldn't stand up. Like, my girlfriend at the time and I went to see it. And I couldn't function. I was like dry heaving. I'm not kidding. I was like, and I couldn't move. And I wanted to kill Darren Aronofsky for doing that. And I think Darren Aronofsky is an amazing filmmaker. But I thought the last 10 minutes of that movie, I got it. And then that damn score to den, 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 den. I was like, okay, all right, enough. Enough, man. I got it. You know, drugs are bad. I understand that now. God almighty. I did not include that on my list. See, I don't know. But Aronofsky's made some great movies, man. He has. All right, here's some of the other ones. Number 96 on their list, Finding Nemo. Number 95 is Moonrise Kingdom. We mentioned Moonrise Kingdom the other day.
That's the one with their Boy Scouts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw that.
It's such a great movie. It is such a great movie. And we were talking about, because Edward Norton rules in it as like the scout leader. Let's see. Number 94, Let the Right One In. Actually, one of the best vampire movies I think ever made.
Now, is that the foreign version?
Yeah,
that's
the Swedish version, yeah. Not the Let Me In is the American version.
Oh, okay.
And it's, you know, Chloe Grace Moretz has starred now in two completely unnecessary sequels to remakes of horror movies. Like, she did Let Me In did not need to be made, and she was in the remake of Carrie. And I love her. I really do, but no. Actually, you know what's happened to her, man? Because she was in that damn Neighbors movie.
She's trying to be, you know, she's like, I think she's 20?
Yeah, she is.
So she's trying to be all crazy.
Oh, man. All right. Ratatouille is on the list. That's the second Pixar movie. I'm the only person in the world doesn't like Ratatouille very much.
Did you not cry at the end?
No, I didn't.
That one part where, oh.
No, and most Pixar movies make me cry. Like one of the ones that's on my list of the best movies of the 21st century is WALL-E, which I still think is the best Pixar movie ever made. I watched it over the weekend, bawled my eyes out. Loved it. Okay, we have to break here. We got the news coming up, and then we'll. If you guys want to jump in here with your thoughts or texts or comments about the best movies of the 21st century thus far, 312-981-7200. News in 14 seconds. Morning, everybody. Hi, how you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Monday morning. That means my dad will be telling a joke, so yeah. Sponsored by the Gale Street Inn, the greatest restaurant on the planet. Gale Street Inn and Jeff Park. Say hello to George when you go there. Tell him I sent you. I'll be there Saturday celebrating my dad's birthday at the Gale Street Inn, sponsoring my dad's joke coming up later on. Okay, the BBC... surveyed 62 film critics from around the world, and they asked them to talk about the best films from the 21st century so far. So I was looking at that list, and then I busted out my old lists, and I'll throw a few titles out there for you. And if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Let's see, number 90 on their list is The Pianist, the Roman Polanski film from 2002. Spotlight makes it in at number 88, Best Picture winner from last year. Have you seen Spotlight, Esmeralda?
Is that the one about the writing newspaper?
Yeah.
In Europe?
No.
There's a scandal?
It's not Europe.
Oh.
It's Boston.
And
It's about the sexual abuse in the priesthood.
Oh, okay. There's another one, right, in Europe? Probably.
About reporting?
Yeah, I thought, nah, never mind. Okay. There's probably like a million of those. That take place in Europe. But yeah. No, I have not seen it.
It's good. It's definitely good. Amelie is number 87 on the list. The little French girl with her spoon.
She's bald. Bald.
Did you?
Uncontrollably at
it's
the
a,
end.
It's a beautiful movie. Number 86 is Far From Heaven. A great film. Let's see. I'm skipping around here a little bit. A Serious Man comes in at number 82. Joel and Ethan Coen. That's my second favorite Coen Brothers movie of all time, is A Serious Man, and not many people like it. Dan, did you see A Serious Man?
No, and I love the Coen Brothers. I've never actually seen Serious Man.
It's my second favorite of all of them. My favorite being, and I have an unusual, like my favorite Coen Brothers movie is Barton Fink. And
people, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but people think I'm nuts, man, you know? Because most people, they go with like Raising Arizona, or they go with The Dude, you know? But I don't know. And A Serious Man is very similar in tone to Barton Fink. It's very dark.
Okay.
It's very odd. And it feels like, it just to me, like when A Serious Man came out in 2009. Barton Fink came out in 91. So Barton Fink is like 25 years old. So when Serious Man came out, it felt like a follow-up to Barton Fink. So let's see what else is on the list. Almost Famous, a great movie. Great movie is on this list. Wolf of Wall Street, which I just think is incredibly overrated. They put Inherent Vice on this list. Paul Thomas Anderson's crazy, crazy movie.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, me too, man. You know, I mean, it's Paul Thomas Anderson. It's a crazy movie. I mean, it really, Esmeralda, have you seen Inherent Vice?
I haven't, and I think it might have been on, because I was at home in my parents' house and they have cable and things.
Yeah.
It might have been on and I didn't watch it.
Yeah, it's a little weird, man. It's out there. It really, I mean, it's really out there. Joaquin Phoenix. It's a weird movie. Let's see what some of the other ones that are on here. They've got Under the Skin, which is a terrific movie with Scarlett Johansson. That's on the list. And the Inglourious Basterds, A History of Violence, David Cronenberg, one of my favorite movies. Zero Dark Thirty is on the list. Moulin Rouge, come on.
I refuse to see that movie because they have all those Beatles songs in it. For some reason, I don't like the idea of people singing them.
Well,
and I liked Across the Universe.
Yeah, Across the Universe is awesome.
But this one, for some reason, it's rubbed me the wrong way. And yeah, I like Baz Luhrmann.
I don't.
And I like, what's his face?
The guy from Trainspotting.
Right.
Ewan McGregor.
Yes.
Yeah. Remember there was a time when every movie that Ewan McGregor was in, you got to see his penis?
Sure.
There was like six movies in a row. It was like, oh, well, there's Ewan McGregor's penis again. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Was it in that one where he's a... He's a guard, security guard.
Security guard.
Yeah, he's a security guard, and it's like a...
Night Watch.
Is it in the...
I don't think so. But like three movies in a row, because I mean, obviously Trainspotting. And then he did this movie called The Pillow Book, which was just like nothing but penises.
He was just dressed up as a penis?
It was like, come on, enough!
And then the... Oh, gosh, I can't remember any movie names. The one where he's a rock star.
Oh, yeah, Velvet Goldmine.
Right?
Yeah, you got to see it in that. Yep. Royal Tenenbaums is on the list. That's my favorite Wes Anderson movie. This is a Royal Tenenbaums. Inception makes the list. Inside Out makes the list. The New World, which is my favorite Terrence Malick movie of the past 15 years. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. WALL-E is on the list. Old Boy. The Social Network. Talk to Her. The Master, another Paul Thomas Anderson movie. So those are some of the ones. Now let me throw my few out here. I'll just go back and look at my top two movies on the lists dating back to 2010. Then I can add that to my list of the best films of the aughts. So my top two movies for the best movies of 2010 were, number one was Blue Valentine with Hey Girl and Michelle Williams. Did you ever see that movie, Esmeralda?
No, but I hear it's very emotional.
Oh, my God.
There's like a lot going on there.
Yeah. I was, when I saw Blue Valentine, here's the situation I was in when I saw Blue Valentine, which I believe is the reason why it had such a monumental effect on me. I had a screener, as I get many screeners at the end of the year for films for your consideration. So I had a screener of Blue Valentine, and I watched it in the room that I was sequestered in while I was cohabitating with my wife before we got divorced.
Oh, no.
Do you know what Blue Valentine's about? The disintegration of a marriage.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know the whole thing. I haven't seen it.
So this is how I watched it. This was about 4 months into me living in that room with my wife, who, you know, we were done. But while I was looking for another apartment, while I was looking for a place to live, I lived basically with her. We cohabitated together for, it was almost 6 months. It was like 5.5 months of that.
Yeah, no, I had the same thing.
Horrible. So I spent a lot of time in that room, not leaving, watching television, and drinking a lot of whiskey. And I watched Blue Valentine in that world, and it destroyed me. It destroyed me. So that was number one. I would consider that one of the best of the 21st century. Social Network was number two on my list that year, which I still think is a really great film. David Fincher. For 2011, my top three were Take Shelter. You ever see Take Shelter, Esmeralda?
Remind me the plot.
It's Michael Shannon plays a guy who is convinced that the world is going to end. Jessica Chastain is his wife. It's directed by Jeff Nichols, who would go on to do, he did Mud. He just did Midnight Special.
I have not seen that, and I love Michael Shannon.
He's so great in it. So great in it. Tree of Life was number two on my list. That was Terrence Malick's brilliant film. And then Warrior, which not a lot of people have seen. It's with Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton. Have you seen it, Dan?
Yeah, that's the MMA one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phenomenal movie. Phenomenal. With Nick Nolte as their dad.
Yeah.
Have you seen that, Esmeralda?
I haven't, but I'm looking at pictures.
Yeah.
I should go see this.
Yes, you should. Yes, you should. And that's a very emotional movie. Like the last 10 minutes of that movie. Oh, my God. You want to talk about weeping. An amazing film, but with a terrible title, and they released it at the wrong time. Like, it's, but it's really not, I mean, it's about the guys, they are fighting in the MMA, but that's not really what the movie's about. The movie is about the relationship between these two estranged brothers. That's what it's about, and the relationship with their father. That's what the core of the movie is about. They released it, it's called Warrior, and it came out like the beginning of September that year, and tanked. Every time I tell somebody, you know, to see it, they're like, what the hell is that? Warrior, and then they watch it and go, oh my God, it was great. Yeah. Live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. How's it going, everybody? Nick DiGilio here. My dad will be calling in to tell a joke because it's a jokey, jokey, jokey time, and the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn, sponsors it. Thank you, George, and everybody at the Gale Street Inn. Yes, that'll be coming up. So we're talking about this list of the 100 best films of the 21st century. The BBC put this out. Not sure what the timing was that in late August of 2016 they decided to survey 62 film critics and find out what they think are the best movies of the 21st century. I'm not sure why this timing came in, but that's the deal. So here are their top 10. I'll go right to their top 10, and then I'll throw more of my titles out. And if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. So basically, your favorite movies are the best movies since 2000. All right, let's see. So number 10 on their list is No Country for Old Men, which I think is a massively overrated movie. That's actually, we were talking about my favorite Coen Brothers movies. That's one of my least favorite. My least favorite Coen Brothers movie, the only Coen Brothers movie that I actively hate is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou. And again, I get a lot of crap for that too because people love that movie. And I hate that movie.
Do you like the song?
I do. Well, I like the music. I think the music for Oh Brother is great. I just think the movie's terrible. But I'm alone on that one, man. I am. So No Country for Old Men, number 10 on the BBC list. Number 9 is A Separation. Number 8 is Yee Yee, the 1 and the 2. Number 7 is The Tree of Life, the Terrence Malick movie. Number 6, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Terrific movie. I don't know if I would say it's the sixth best movie of the 21st century so far. But I do like that movie very much. You've seen that one, Esmeralda?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've seen that many a time.
Yeah. Number 5, Boyhood. Richard Linklater's beautiful film from a couple of years ago. By the way, Boyhood has like a special, will always remain a special spot. Not only because it's a really terrific movie, but it was also the last movie that Roy Leonard reviewed on my show before he passed, and he said that it was one of the best movies he had ever seen in his life, and it was the last time he reviewed a movie on this station and on my show. So number 4, Spirited Away, the Miyazaki amazing animated film. Number 3, There Will Be Blood, Paul Thomas Anderson, nicely represented on this list, as he should be. Number 2 is In the Mood for Love, and number 1, Esmeralda, did you see what number 1 was on this list?
I didn't. What is it?
Mulholland Drive.
What?
Yeah.
Well, it is the BBC.
The best movie of the 21st century, Mulholland Drive.
Who are these critics?
I don't know. There's 62 of them from around the world. They were from newspapers, magazines, websites, academics. So, but I don't know, man. Mulholland Drive?
That, yeah. I mean,
Oh, man, I don't know. So, let's see. 262 area code says Snowpiercer is probably my all-time favorite. Great post-apocalyptic movie. That is a terrific movie. Snowpiercer. That's a really good film. 630 area code says, best Wes Anderson movie is Fantastic Mr. Fox, and I don't even like animated movies. Fantastic Mr. Fox is awesome.
I like when they get really, they're angry, and they just like, rah, 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 and they're going in the circle. Oh, my God, that's so cute.
It's such a good movie. 847 area code says, if Gravity is not on this list, the list is worthless, says Kurt. It's not on the list. Would be on mine, though. Definitely would be on mine. 312 says, What We Do in the Shadows is a brilliantly funny movie. Yes, very funny movie. Terrific movie. All right. Here's my 2012 top three from 2012. My number one movie from 2012 is Flight with Denzel Washington, the Robert Zemeckis movie. That movie just, I don't know, just it. Well, you know, I'm a big Zemeckis fan. You know, I included The Walk on my, you know, it's number four last year. And, you know, like nobody liked that movie. And it was number four on my list because I happen to think Robert Zemeckis is the king. Have you seen The Walk, Dan?
I have not seen The Walk, no.
Nobody has. Esmeralda?
No.
No? Nobody has. It's a great movie. It's a really, really great film. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, you know, he plays the guy who walks between the Twin Towers, who walked between the Twin Towers. The way to see that movie was in 3D IMAX. I almost passed out.
See, I'm kind of not hesitant to see it, but it's kind of like the back of the line because I did see the documentary.
It's better than the documentary.
Oh.
It is. It is. I think it is. I might be in the minority on that, but I think it's a beautiful film. But Flight was my favorite movie of 2012. You ever see that one, Esmeralda?
I did. I saw it on a bus going to Cancun.
Oh, God. I thought you were going to say you saw it on a plane. I'd be like, what?
No, I saw it on a bus going to Cancun where I was going to be on a flight in 2 days.
That's nice.
So I was like, this is not a good movie to be watching.
No. It's got two things going for it that's not good right there, Esmeralda. You're on a bus. You're going to go on a flight. You're going to go to Cancun. I'm assuming liquor was involved when you went to Cancun.
Yeah, no, because this was towards the end of my vacation.
Oh, okay.
Because I was somewhere else and we were crossing to go to get home.
Because a lot of people go to Cancun to booze.
Right. So that was just where the hub of where we were leaving.
You know, I was just going to say, because if you were going to go there to booze, Flight is also not a great movie to watch.
Yeah, no, it was
because the main character
is
an alcoholic.
Yeah,
and that's the thing about that movie. It was advertised like, it's a thriller about this guy who had to land this plane. It's not. It's the story of an alcoholic. It's actually one of the best movies ever made about alcoholism. It really is. And Denzel is unbelievable in it.
He was great.
He's so great in it.
So is the. What was the
Goodman?
Female, who's the female lead?
Oh, she was
Kelly.
Oh, man, yeah.
The Irish chick.
Yeah, man, yeah.
She was great.
Number two on my list that year was Zero Dark Thirty, which was mentioned earlier. Catherine Bigelow's great film about the killing of Osama bin Laden, Jessica Chastain. And then number three was The Master, the great Paul Thomas Anderson movie. That was 2012. 2013, Gravity was number one on my list. That was number one, so I would include that. Her was number two on my list that year, with Joaquin Phoenix and the voice of Scarlett Johansson. Number three on my list, 2013, I don't care. I love it. A lot of people don't. American Hustle. I love that movie.
That was a great movie.
Yeah. No, I know a lot of my friends are like, no, it's not that good. It's like imitation of Scorsese. I don't care what it is. It's awesome.
Who directed it?
Why am I blanking on his name?
David O. Russell.
David O. Russell, that's right.
Ah, okay.
David O. Russell. Oh, my God, Bradley Cooper and everybody in that movie. Christian Bale and his hair. And Jennifer Lawrence. Oh, my God. Everybody in that movie. Amy Adams. De Niro's got a small role in it. He rules in it. Louis C.K. And how about Bradley Cooper's imitation of Louis C.K.? Hilarious. So. Yeah. All right. Well, so that's it. Now I got 2014 and then 2015, and I'll go down my film of the aughts. But according to the BBC and 62 film critics, Mulholland Drive is the best film of the 21st century. I don't understand that at all. Okay, we got the news coming up next on WGN. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6. In a few minutes, my dad is going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time, and it's brought to you by the Gale Street Inn, the greatest restaurant on the planet. The place is awesome. George Karzis, who runs it, is one of the coolest guys in the world. And we're going to go there on Saturday to celebrate my dad's birthday, which is Thursday of this week. So I can't think of a better place to celebrate than the Gale Street Inn. And we thank them for sponsoring my dad's joke. All right. We were talking about this list from the BBC of the 100 best films of the 21st century so far. And 62 critics were surveyed, and they chose David Lynch's Mulholland Drive as number one. Now, it's not that I dislike Mulholland Drive. I like it. It's fine. But I don't think it deserves to be the best film of the 21st century so far. So, I don't know. All right. Just for 2014, my list. Number one on my list in 2014 was Interstellar. Christopher Nolan's amazing, beautiful, epic film. Have you seen it?
I have not.
McConaughey? Dan, you've seen it?
Yep.
It's an amazing film. Truly amazing. Number two on my list that year, 2014, was Whiplash. I just adore that movie. J.K. Simmons was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The drummer with the jazz.
Right. Yeah. I was thinking of that one with
you were thinking
the roller
of,
derby.
Yeah, you were thinking of Whip It. Ellen Page, yeah. Directed by Drew Barrymore.
Yes.
And the lovely Kristen Wiig is in that as well.
Yeah.
No, it's a different movie.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Different movie. And then number three on my list that year was Birdman, which ended up winning Best Picture. Which is a really great movie. Edward Norton's in that one, too.
He is in it. Yes.
All right. So last year, I can't remember what my number one was last year. My number two was Hateful Eight, the Quentin Tarantino movie, which I think is his best movie since Pulp Fiction.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dig it.
Did you see it on the roadshow, the 70mm?
Yeah, I saw it at the Music Box.
Please. I saw it the day after Christmas, 10 o'clock in the morning. I went to the Music Box the day after Christmas. One of the best cinematic experiences I've ever had was Hateful Eight. You got the program. It had the intermission. You know, it had the overture at the beginning. Oh, it was so cool. It was so cool. And then it's bloody as hell. Jennifer Jason Leigh, please. What can you say about Jennifer Jason Leigh? So that was in The Revenant was on my list at number three. The Revenant.
Did I see that?
Leo fights the bear.
No, I
think
didn't
you'd remember.
See that.
Yeah,
I think you'd remember that.
I didn't see that.
And then number one last year was Mad Max.
Yes, of course.
So that would be, by the way, that would be if I were making a list of the best films of the 21st century.
Mad Max,
by far.
Yeah,
it's easily the best movie I've seen in 16 years. If that's the criteria that we're going by, Mad Max Fury Road, easily the best movie I've seen in 16 years. Dan, have you seen Mad Max Fury Road? Of course you have.
I have, of course.
Yeah, you can't produce this show unless you've seen it.
Yeah, that was actually the requirement.
That was the requirement.
Of me continuing to fill in with you.
There was a screening. You do a screening every month of Mad Max in the conference room.
I do, yes. I force people to come in. Yeah.
You wrangle us all up.
I say it's a meeting, but then everybody shows up and we just watch Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah, Jimmy DeCastro really, you have to be there.
Jimmy says we have to have a meeting. It's very important. Then I just pop in Mad Max.
Right. And we're like, no, you lock the door.
I lock the door, pull the shades. You're stuck. You're stuck for 2 hours and 2 minutes.
And you have to spray chrome on your mom.
That's right. Yeah. Shiny and chrome, baby. Witness! I watched it again over the weekend. 46 times.
It was not on.
No, I just
in the marathon. No, for me, the marathon of.
Yeah, now you were watching that damn stupid Guy Ritchie.
Snatch, yes.
Although that's my favorite of all. His movies all suck. His movies all suck, but.
I like the Guy Ritchie movies.
Oh, God.
With their fun songs.
No.
And their quick camera movements.
No. Do you see the trailer for his new one?
They're funny talking. Which one is that?
King Arthur.
No, I haven't.
Oh.
Does it have a bunch of R&B Motown songs in it? And
no, but it's got the
British
quick
people?
slow motion freeze frame, that crap that he did in the Sherlock Holmes movies.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Ugh. I'll tell you what, though. Let me explain something to you about Snatch.
Yes.
That's going to end up. Brad Pitt rules in it.
He's great.
Phenomenal.
That accent is hilarious.
And the weird thing, I can understand everything he says.
Really?
Yes.
I had the captions on.
That doesn't even help a lot of people.
I always have to have the captions on.
And it's funny because like they had genuine Pikeys in the movie. And he sounded more genuine than the guys in the movie.
Right.
He was phenomenal in that
movie. To this day, I still say Dag.
Do you?
It's for me, man.
I don't like that movie very much, but I watched the Brad Pitt stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything else I don't care about.
Right.
But Brad Pitt, every scene that he's in that movie, he's unbelievable. He's hilarious.
You don't even like the two guys who rob the bookie and they're just like bumbling dummies.
I do not like Guy Ritchie movies. I think they all suck.
But then I watched Tropic Thunder. It was on it.
Hilarious.
So yeah.
Best performance in Tropic Thunder?
Is Tom Cruise.
Exactly right.
It's so
Les Grossman.
So good.
Diet Coke!
It is so good.
That's about all I can say, though. I can't say a lot of his dialogue.
Yeah, he does a lot of swearing.
Where's the key grip? I want you to walk over there, and I want you to punch that director in the face.
Although I do like when he yells when the gang calls to demand money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He does his whole yelling, and then after he goes, find out who that was.
Yeah. Yeah. And the dancing. I mean,
the dancing is
perfect. Just phenomenal.
Well, the whole makeup, too.
Everything.
Is amazing.
His hands are all fat and hairy.
His hands.
No, yeah, his hands, his whole, like, he had fat arms and fat hands and stuff.
Well, you have to go the whole thing.
He was so good in that movie. Oh, my God. That's a very funny movie. Tropic Thunder is a really funny movie. Yeah. So many funny people in it. I mean, you got Steve Coogan in it, and he's only in it for, like, 10 minutes, you know, and he's hilarious in it, and his death scene is hysterical when he blows up.
I mean, that little boy.
Yeah.
Not the kingpin.
No, I know who you're talking about.
The little babe, little half stout or whatever you called him.
God. That's a very funny movie. All right. So I'll just go through. I made a list at the end of the decade, the end of 2009. I made a list of my 25 best films of the aughts. So this definitely fills into this category that we're talking about. Number 25 on my list is King Kong. Naomi Watts, Peter Jackson.
That's too long.
No. No.
I saw the timer. I'm like,
No, it should have been 5 hours long.
Oh, boy.
Number 24, Southland Tales, which is a movie that's one of the few movies I've done a complete 180 on. Have you seen Southland
Who's
Tales?
Who's in that?
The Rock. It's his future. It's the follow-up to Donnie Darko that Richard Kelly made.
Oh, really?
It's not a sequel to Donnie Darko.
No, but it's in the same vein.
It's his film after that. Have you seen it, Dan?
No. The Rock is in it?
The Rock's the lead. Justin Timberlake is in it. Sarah Michelle Gellar. Amy Poehler. Anna Gasteyer.
Wait, is it like Justin Timberlake's all like
scarred up,
weird and trashy?
Yeah. And he lip syncs the song by The Killers.
Interesting. Interesting.
I did a 180 on this movie, completely turned around on it, because when I first saw it, I hated it. I hated it. I thought it was just a mess. I hated it. One night, 6 months later, it's on cable. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right. Because I love Donnie Darko a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, all right, I'll give this movie a chance. And then for some reason, it hit me. And I now love it.
Maybe it's a 3 a.m. movie.
Oh, it's appropriate. If you've ever seen this movie, man, it is... It's way out there. It's way, way out there. But it's great. So that's number 24. Number 23, Zodiac.
I haven't seen that either.
David Fincher's brilliant serial killer movie with great performances. Robert Downey Jr., Mark Ruffalo, Jake Gyllenhaal. Such a great movie. Really ignored by the public, too.
Oh.
Yeah. 22 is May with Angela Bettis.
Sorry.
It's a horror film called May.
Oh, that's why I didn't.
And it's great. It's great. Angela Bettis is phenomenal in it. Have you seen that? You haven't seen May, Dan?
No.
Oh, dude, you got to see it. It's great. 21, Wall-E. Mm-hmm. 20, Almost Famous. 19, Diary of the Dead, which is George Romero's first zombie movie since Day of the Dead, so it was 30 years when it came out.
Right, and that's with your favorite.
What?
Guy. Who? Is he not in it?
Who?
Was it Bubs or what was it?
No, name? No. Well, you got Bubs from Day of the Dead.
And oh, then, okay, that's who I'm thinking of.
And then the other one was Big Daddy.
Oh, no, wait, I'm thinking of
He's
Big Daddy.
In Land of the Dead.
Okay.
Land of the Dead is was
so. In that, where's the one from your list?
Diary.
Yeah.
Diary came out in 2008.
So it's way.
He rebooted the entire franchise. So, Diary of the Dead. You have to like pretend land, dawn, day,
everything,
night
oh.
doesn't exist.
Is this the one with the camera?
Yeah, it's all found footage stuff.
Yeah.
Way ahead of its time. Way ahead of its time about social media, about the news. This movie came out in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird, too, because if you go back and watch it, which I did this past weekend again, he uses MySpace on it. So now it's like it would be Facebook. If he were to make the movie now,
yeah.
It would be Facebook or YouTube or, you know, one of the... YouTube is in the movie. But it's... Because at that time, 2008, everybody had a MySpace page.
Right, because
the movie came out at the beginning of 2008. So they shot it like at the end of 2006, beginning of 2007. Everybody had a MySpace page at that point. So if you look at it, what this movie says about the media, what it says about the news, what it says about social, the social world, social media, and society, way ahead of its time. Like way ahead of its time. And it rebooted the whole zombie idea. So Diary of the Dead takes place the very first night the zombie outbreak happens. So there's no history, nothing. It's for the first time. They're like, why are these dead people coming back to life?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's a phenomenal movie. I mean, a phenomenal movie. So I actually think it's Romero's best movie since Dawn.
I really am amazed how much he was able to suck out of this whole zombie thing.
Yeah, he made another one after that. He made another one after that, which was called Survival of the Dead.
Right.
And he essentially... Essentially, he wanted to make... You know the movie Ryan's Daughter? It's like this epic Western that David Lean made.
Mm-mm.
He essentially wanted to make Ryan's Daughter.
Okay.
So he was like, you know what? I'm going to have a zombie horse and all kinds of like crazy stuff. So
does the zombie horse follow directions?
If I remember, the zombie horse gets eaten.
Oh.
Like they eat the horse. They eat the horse and then the horse comes back because it's a zombie.
Okay, yeah.
So... I don't know if it follows.
Does a zombie ride the zombie horse?
Oh yeah, there's zombie cowboys in it.
Oh, okay.
There's some beautiful majestic stuff in it. It's awesome. It's
like their ears falling off.
No. Not quite. But no, Diary of the Dead, seriously, that's the one. That's a great one. So is Land. Land of the Dead is great too, but Diary is my favorite of the most recent ones. All right, we got a break here and we got my dad's joke coming up. Sponsored by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. And then I'll finish up my list of the best of the aughts. And by the way, if you want to see that list, we have it up on our Facebook page of the 21st century BBC list of movies with Mulholland Drive on top. Okay, let me get back to my list here of movies. Okay, number 18 on my list of the best films of the aughts, Spider-Man 2, which I still think is the best comic book movie ever made. Number 17 is Shotgun Stories. Michael Shannon again, from the director Jeff Nichols.
I'm seeing a pattern here.
Yeah. 16, Donnie Darko. See, we were just talking about the, 15, The Fountain. There's Darren Aronofsky at his best.
Who is in that?
That's Hugh Jackman, Rachel Weisz. Takes place over four different time periods. Really remarkable movie.
Hmm.
Yeah, The Fountain. Again, nobody saw it. No, they didn't. Nobody saw it. 14, Shaun of the Dead.
That is a great movie.
A phenomenal movie. 13, Shattered Glass, another movie that about 7 people saw. You ever heard of? You ever see Shattered Glass? You know it?
What?
Hayden Christensen is in it.
I have seen that.
He plays Stephen Glass, the guy who made up a bunch of stories in the New Republic.
Yeah, I did see that.
Oh, my God, I love that movie. And Peter Sarsgaard? Oh, my God, my boyfriend Peter Sarsgaard.
Peter Sarsgaard, it seems like that's all he does. He's like, I'm going to just do paper or newspaper roles.
Why?
I don't know. Isn't he in that Spotlight movie?
No.
No?
You just have this whole Spotlight thing all screwed up.
He seems like he's always like in a role where he's an editor of some sort.
Well, because he was so damn good in in Shattered Glass. His scene at the end where he goes off on Chloe Sevigny,
yeah,
is amazing. Where he like he lied to us and we printed them fact for fact, mm-hmm, because we found him charming, phenomenal. 12 United 93, not the happiest movie in the world, mm-hmm, but amazing. Let's see, number 11, The Royal Tenenbaums, and here are my top 10 of the aughts. 10, Punch Drunk Love. Mm. 9, The New World, which is a Terrence Malick movie with Colin Farrell. 8, A History of Violence with Viggo Mortensen. 7, Sideways, which is the movie that
movies that's not higher.
Yeah. I mean, for 7, though, I mean, it's pretty high for the best movies of the past, like, 15 years. 6, The Hurt Locker. Mm-hmm. 5, I put all the Lord of the Rings movies together.
Good, because that would 1 through 10, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, so I put the whole Lord of the Rings trilogy at number 5. Number 4, an astoundingly beautiful movie that nobody has seen, The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. Have you ever seen it?
I have not.
You've not seen it?
No.
You know what it is?
No.
Brad Pitt plays Jesse James.
Yeah.
And it's got everybody in it. And also Casey Affleck plays Robert Ford.
I've heard bits and pieces of the soundtrack.
Beautiful soundtrack. Amazing soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful movie, but it made no money, and it's like almost 3 hours long, so a lot of people just stayed away from it.
Yeah.
Number 3, There Will Be Blood. Number 2, Children of Men.
That is a great movie.
Phenomenal movie. And then number 1, well, now number 1 is Mad Max, but mm-hmm, my number 1 movie is of the aughts was 25th Hour.
Yeah.
Spike Lee, Edward Norton.
Yeah.
My favorite Edward Norton performance, my favorite Spike Lee movie. One of the only movies to really sort of brilliantly deal with the scars that were left on New York City after 9/11. Mm. And also do it in an allegorical way. Just a great cast all the way around. Philip Seymour Hoffman, Barry Pepper. Barry Pepper's so good in it. So that's that. But then now Mad Max has taken over. Now, I didn't put Mulholland Drive anywhere on my list.
I don't even think I was able to get through it. At one point, I was just like, I don't know what's going on here.
Well, it just gets ridiculous after a while.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. They have Mulholland Drive at number 1. You know where Mad Max comes in on this list?
Where is that?
19.
Oh. It's a lot of movies.
19.
Before number 1.
Children of Men is number 13. They've got Inside Llewyn Davis at number 11. Number 10, No Country for Old Men. These 62 critics really like the Coen brothers. So, Lost in Translation, a great movie. That made it number 22. The Grand Budapest Hotel.
That's adorable.
Ray Fiennes is hysterical in that movie.
Yeah, he's great.
He's hilarious in that movie. You think that I... What's he say when the authorities come? And he says, you think that I killed him or something? And then he just books. He just starts running. He's hilarious in that movie. Brokeback Mountain is on this list, a movie that I think is really overrated. The Dark Knight, which I think is really overrated. 25th Hour comes in at 26 on the list. Bless you. Bless you.
Thank you.
That was the most adorable sneeze ever.
I try not to, you know,
to blow out the mic.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no, just in general, in life, I sneeze.
You try to sneeze as quietly as possible.
I keep it in.
I try to get everything.
It's not healthy because you can pop a blood vessel.
No, exactly. That's why you just want to have your eyes explode.
Can you imagine just one, like, what? What's wrong?
Like one giant eye. One your left eye is like suddenly the size of a Buick.
Yeah.
Why is that? Well, I tried to hold in my sneeze. What was that thing? What was the old wives' tale that says that if you sneeze, you can't sneeze with your eyes open, and if you try to sneeze with your eyes open, your eyes will explode or something?
I thought it was if you sneeze, burp, and flatulence
at the same time,
out, yes,
then
you'll just blow up.
You will actually explode.
I think these are children's rumors.
Yeah.
But,
well,
know.
I think those kind of things were told to children to discourage them from farting and doing things like
and
that.
And burping and sneezing.
Yeah.
Things you can't really help.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Anyway, that list, the 100 best films of the 21st century, is from BBC. And I don't know, you know, they don't give credit where the for who the 62.
Oh, like where all the votes?
Yeah, who the 62 film critics were.
Oh, they didn't say who the critics were?
Not in this article.
Interesting.
I'm sure there's a list somewhere if we dug.
You think?
But.
You think they just didn't take an arbitrary number?
No.
Yeah,
there's 62 guys.
We'll just say 62.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just say 62, and I want to put Mulholland Drive.
And it's, yeah,
one.
It's just one dude.
One dude. It's like Mulholland Drive is awesome.
he's trying to get backing for Mulholland Drive.
That's right. All right. Well, hey, Esmeralda.
Yes.
Tomorrow, 2 for Tuesday.
Yeah, it is.
All right. You'll be here.
I will.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See ya.
All right. We'll take a quick break here. We got the news coming up next, followed by the opening bell on WGN.